Please, delegates, I think it's time to resume our work. We should try to finalize this agenda point within a fairly short time. If we should keep up with schedule, and as usual, we obviously try to do that. We do our best. So I would like to go back to or continue from goal 3. That means at page 10 of the document, strengthening Codex work management capabilities, where we have a number of points that we would like to hear whether this committee has comments on. So 3.1, review the criteria for the establishment of work priorities and procedures of a critical review carried out by the executive committee. Is that an activity that we still want to have in the document? I don't see any reaction, so I take it to be... member from Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we heard about the importance of the CCSX role in critical review. I think it might be appropriate to kind of apply that to ourselves as well. I think this is clearly a business activity. That sits way, way below the strategic plan. But I think it would be useful to have maybe for one session of CC Exec just an evaluation of how effective we have been in critical review, where we've given advice, has that expedited a standard, how successful have we been in effect in our role as a critical review. In our critical review function. So I'll kind of just sort of add that in there. I think that'll probably be a new piece of work. I agree that we've kind of completed introducing the function, but we should then have a look at how effective we have been in that and what we have managed to change by applying that function to looking at standards.
Thank you, Member for Europe. That appears to me to be good idea. We should always take the courage to look at ourselves too when we evaluate things. So I think that should be taken on board in the further deliberations. It's a good idea. So thank you very much for that, which has not been included in the text so far. But then we move on to point 3.2, ensure effective and efficient standards management. We've just added a word. I hope that is acceptable if you accept the point as in general. But I don't see any reactions, so I think we maintain that point too. 3.3, develop committee-specific decision-making and priority-setting criteria by following a practice that allows for timely consideration of new issues. We have extended the text a little bit and actually added a number of elements. But on this one, if you look at page 11, we have put in capital letters, square brackets, that this committee must decide if and how this activity should be included as it is currently scheduled to conclude during the current strategic plan timeline. So do we have any points on that? May I make the comment on 3.3 that here we actually deal with an issue that was mentioned by the member from North America a while ago about looking into the future. So maybe we should just decide here that obviously we maintain the section, but we look at the framing, the wording put into it. So I think we achieve two goals if we do like that. I've seen nodding, so that's what we're going to do. Thank you. 3.4 has been deleted, stricken out. Any comments on that? That does not appear to be the case, so we will continue to 3.5. Urge committees to adopt and implement the good practices identified as a result of the strategic plan 2018-8 to 2013, activity 3.5 as summarized in Alinorm. 1033/3A. Does that give rise to comments? I think everybody can agree that we should urge committees to do that, so it should not be a problem. I see no reaction to it. Then we have a new point, 35A, encourage use of pre-session working groups at committee meetings to expedite agreement on standards. This is an issue that comes up again and again. How do we use working groups? When do we have them? How many of them do we have? So this is a proposal actually put into the strategic plan that we, to a large extent, organize the use of working groups the way that they are established as pre-session working groups. Is that an idea that we should maintain in the text? See, there is a comment from the member of Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just, I think it applies to some of the, it's just the language used, I think. This is the strategic plan of Codex, so, and we were talking about encouraging use. I'm not quite sure who's doing the encouraging. If this is the business plan or the business activities under the strategic plan, then it should be Codex will use pre-session working groups or something like that. It should be a statement of intent or of what we were actually going to do rather than somebody encouraging somebody else to do something.
Thank you, member from Europe. That makes sense to me. So I think we should take the idea on board and let that be part of the discussion for refinement of that text in 35A. There's a comment from the member of Southwest Pacific, please.
I don't have a problem with the retention of this idea, and I pick up the point that the member for Europe has made, which is very valid. But I get the impression that this pre-session working groups is now almost standard practice across a lot of committees. So I wonder to what extent it is still current or whether we want to reword it to pick up the broader underlying idea, which is really about expediting the work between sessions. And pre-session working groups is one mechanism, obviously an important one at that. So I have a question in my mind as to whether this is still really relevant or a critical piece of action that remains, that needs to be retained within the strategic plan going forward to 2014-19. So it's just something, again, that we may want to reflect whether this is still a critical piece of activity that is unfinished or whether it is now fairly well embedded within Codex.
Thank you, member from Southwest Pacific. I'm not having all the data in my head as to, but I think we could ask Madam Secretary to explain the situation, because if we are stating the obvious, we might think about the necessity of doing it. So, relevant question, but maybe Madam Secretary could help us clarifying the need for having this text. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are a number of committees which have structurally, we could say, a working group prior to the committee. For example, the Committee on Additives always has a working group on the GSFA, methods of analysis on the endorsement, and some of them have are regularly holding a working group prior to the session. The others, it really depends on the amount of work. That's really, it depends on the amount of work for each committee. It may be justified in one session. It may not be necessarily justified in another session. Sometimes they also lengthen the duration of the session, like going from 5 to 6 days. So that's also up to the workload of the committee. It might be working groups. Some committees prefer to extend by 1 day, so that's according to the workload. But some committees have it on a regular basis because they have some items like priorities for some food safety committees, or endorsement, or the general standard for additives. That's for each session. For other committees, it really depends on the workload. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I think we take on board the point made by the member from West Pacific and let it go into the discussion to see whether it is actually relevant to have this this point in the plan, or we should say that it is already the practice in most committees, and the rest should be up to their decisions. So I think we take note of the comments and let that be part of the discussion, because we don't really have the basis for making a final decision on the issue for the time being. But before we conclude, I see the flag from the member from North America. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess maybe one clarification on what is maybe being aimed at from this item. I believe this is more than the structured working groups that exist within, you know, a number of committees. At least this is the way I read this specific, you know, activity. Or I think what is being aimed at is really facilitation mechanisms such as, you know, pre-session meetings that would aim at alleviating any potential, you know, discomfort with the standard, making sure to advance the work. So I think this is what is being aimed at, and looking at generalizing this practice. I think, again, that's part of the things that we would like to promote in enabling our work management processes.
Thank you, Member for North America. I think you explained quite eloquently what we have been thinking in drafting the text, and so we maintain it for the time being. Then it can be discussed and maybe refined in the to give a more precise description of what we want to achieve with that goal. That seems to be accepted by the committee, so we would move on to 3.5b, review conditions for holding standards at step 8. A difficult issue, but I think there's general agreement that it is something that we need to keep working on to try to avoid as far as possible these situations, although we all know it's not so easy, but it still should be part of our future thinking in the plan. So I think it's relevant to keep it in, and I don't see any reaction to that point. So we maintain it. And I also again repeat that we have put in capital letters that this committee should decide whether we should, because current work is going on. But by all means, if the current work should come to the solution, solve the problem, that's a dream. If they should solve the problem, we can always strike out this before we finalize the strategic plan. So isn't the best idea to keep it here for the time being, being realistic about the discussions on the issue? That would be my suggestion, and I see nodding on that one. So thank you. Then we move to 3.6, implement priority rank comprehensive accounting of all requests for scientific advice. No comments on that one. We continue. And we have deleted two paragraphs, 3.7, 3.8. Does that give any reactions from the committee? It doesn't. I take it that it's okay. We have done this. Then there's a new one, 3.9, increase use of machine-assisted translation of codex documents, a discussion that has been going on for a while, how we could improve the situation with translation. We know, all of us, that we frequently have problems with late translations of documents that creates problems and frustrations amongst many delegations, and also it's a cost burden for the system, the translation cost. So the idea is to simply point to the fact that we should have this under consideration and really try to develop the situation and test the possible solutions in the area. Certainly, the idea is to improve the work of the of the Commission and all the committees as such. So I hope, and I see no reaction, so we take it on board that this idea is accepted. I have a flag from the member from North America, please.
Just a note on this one, 3.9, 3.10, 3.11. I hope that as we move forward, we don't get caught up in just looking at these things. I think the concept here is looking for new technology, new ways that we can make the organization work better. These are three ideas, but there may be others. And so I think we ought to capture for the purposes of our working on this that these are just ideas, and that we would hope that the group would actually expand on that, or possibly could expand on that.
Thank you. Member from North America certainly writes that the whole idea is to improve the situation, and we all know that technology is developing both on translation possibilities, internet-based virtual meetings, all the technology, the media that we could use for college work is developing these years, and we need to always to be aware of that and use the possibilities that the future will enable us to use to expedite college work more efficiently. We're all interested in that. So this is the idea of having these measures included. 3.9, I think nobody has other reactions. 3.10, increase the use of internet-based virtual meetings. Again, utilizing the technology that is, some of it is there, some of it is developing, it's being easier to use, and capabilities of all member states are developing, and obviously we can only use these technologies when all member states has the capacity to and the possibility to use them. Otherwise, we exclude somebody, and it is certainly not the intention. I'm sure we all agree on that. Any reactions to that? No. 3.11, measure and improve efficiency of current process for comment submission. Again, an idea to follow closely the efficiency of CODIS work. No reaction. Thank you very much. Then we finished goal 3, and we move to goal 4, promoting. Sorry, there's a flag from the member from Europe. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry to just go back on 3.11. It just seems a slight odd accounting exercise, this one. I mean, I understand there will be occasions when comments are received late by committees, but surely if we're talking about improved efficiency, we should be encouraging comments to be submitted by the deadlines. And then other comments accepted by exception if they're later. I'm not quite sure why we would ask committees to do an audit of comments received before, comments received after, or statistics. What are we going to gain by that is my question. So I know it's a slightly sensitive point, but I think we could there could be a much more positive indicator here in terms of getting comments into committees. But I'll leave that for I'll be interested in other people's comments on that, actually. I see the chair smiling, so let me have a comment.
Thank you. Member for Europe, I think your comments are very pertinent. It's two elements. One is to actually analyze the situation. How many difficulties do we have? But certainly it could also go into the discussion to make a strong encouragement to everybody to follow deadlines, because we all know it creates problems when deadlines are not being followed in many aspects. We don't have time to read the documents, translation problems, whatever follows from the issue. So I think we take note that maybe we should cover both aspects under this issue. So thank you for that comment from Member of Europe. I think the Secretariat has a comment, so I would like to pass the word to the Secretariat, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. We have been thinking in the Secretariat for some time about that the present way of receiving comments is a bit old-fashioned, because we send out, we receive emails, and the more emails we receive, the more cluttered up our inboxes get, and sometimes actually comments do get lost or get into the wrong inbox because they get somewhere and then distributed in the wrong way. And there are ways how we could do it that the comments are received in a specific inbox where people would before would log in and place it there. This all has to do with making our website more interactive. And recently we had the occasion to be at a seminar, a workshop together with our colleagues from IPPC, who have actually developed a system that will receive the comments and then automatically even put them together in a document. So it's our plan, like now after the summer break, to look at this, what they are doing, because they say, well, if you can use it, I mean, we could probably adapt the system to your needs. This is why we are also thinking further ahead in maybe working more closely with IPPC, as we have similar problems. So we're going to discuss that with them and with FAO in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretariat. I think it would be all right for everybody in this committee to include in this idea in the overall headline of measuring improved efficiency of current process for comment submission, include the development of the handling of these by developing new systems, as the Secretariat says. Obviously, if there are ideas, there are possibilities that the Secretariat can put into the process, I'm sure it would be perfectly welcome to everybody that we should take that on board and say thank you for that. So I think we could include that in the text, that this is part of the refinement of this text, that this should also be a target to improve these handlings of all the documents that comes in. We all know it's a complicated business to deal with. So thank you very much for the Secretariat for adding this idea to our discussion. This is the final comment on Goal 3. And then we move to Goal 4, promoting cooperation between CODIS and other relevant international organizations. For one, identify and track the activities of other international standard-setting bodies. I don't think anybody is against that. I also believe that everybody thinks it's an important issue, because we want to cooperate, and it's important to cooperate with these other bodies. I see nodding, so we move on to 4.2. Encourage CODIS contribution to the work of other international bodies. Again, I'm sure that's what we want to do, and I don't see any reactions against it. 4.3, encourage contribution from other international bodies in CODIS work. Vice versa, these two, you could say, both are important, I guess. No reaction, thank you. 4.4, consider cooperation with other relevant international intergovernmental organizations. Any comments on that? So we keep it, thank you. 4.5, promote interdisciplinary coordination at the national and regional level. Any comments on that? That doesn't seem to be the case. So we keep it. 4.6, encourage participation of international private standard-setting bodies and observers to the CIC. We have already taken a discussion on that, so I think we agree that this is a discussion that needs further refinement done by the working group that we want to establish. I see no reaction, so I think this point is taken on board by everybody. Thank you very much. Then we move to Goal 5, promoting maximum and effective participation of members, where 5.1 is promote enhanced participation of developing countries in CODIS. I don't think anybody would be against that. That seems to be right. Thank you very much. 5.2, promote effective use of written comments in the codex process. It's also an obvious necessity, I believe, to everybody, so we keep that. 5.3, evaluate effectiveness of codex committee sessions held in developing countries. Any reaction to that? It's true, we have to decide whether this activity should be included, because it is scheduled to conclude during this strategic plan. It has been concluded already, so maybe we should strike it out and say there's no reason to maintain that for the time being. We have a comment from the member of North America, please.
Just a quick comment again, that I hope that the group looks at these types of activities as ideas. Certainly in terms of promoting maximum and effective participation of members, I think we need to look at, you know, a broader scope of things that might be possible, and also do some, again, back on needs assessment type work too.
Thank you. North America, I'm sure that will be part of the discussion in the working group, whether we should maybe delete some of it or we should redraft it to give it a more precise content than it has for the time being. I would suggest that 5.3, evaluate effectiveness of codex committee sessions help in developing countries, that we strike it out because we have had such an evaluation, and to have it in the plan that we make a new evaluation after such a short time probably wouldn't make much sense, I would guess. If the need occurs for unforeseeable reason, there's no reason why we could not decide that within the decision-making procedures we have in the codex. So can we agree to strike that out, say it doesn't really make sense for the time being? I see no reaction, so I take that to be accepted. Then we have 5.4a, description to increase participation and skills building in developing countries. The Commission should encourage monitoring and mentoring and twinning relations between countries that host committees with developing countries with less or limited experience. That's a new one. Like all the other stuff coming from the input from the regional committees. I don't see any reaction, so we maintain that. 4.5, on page 15, strengthen codex contact points and national codex committees. An everlasting effort. And I think the need never stops, so I guess we maintain it in the text, and I don't see any reaction to, so we do that. 5.5, enhance participation of non-governmental organizations at international, regional, and national levels. We want to be inclusive, so I guess that's still one of the things that we want to support in the strategic plan. Thank you. No reaction. 5.7. Enhance negotiation skills of delegates and mediation skills for chairs. That's a new one. Is that a good idea? Again, I take silence for acceptance. FAO, please.
I'd just like to take this opportunity to get some clarification. I see that. I know that some work has started on this in FAO-WHO, and I know that the work is going soon to be shifted to the group I'm responsible for. So it seems a good time to get some clarification. So I'm asking the title. It says Codex Manual on Negotiation for Delegates and Mediation for Chairs. But then within the target groups, it says that training should be for the delegates, the chairs of the various committees, and for codex contact points. Okay. Are we sure that codex contact points are to be included and covered by this manual. And also, usually FAO, WHO are not involved in training for chairs. So I just would like some clarification.
Thank you, FAO. We also have a comment from the member from Southwest Pacific, Greece.
I think there's a number of intersecting issues on this point. The first is effectively why are we looking at an emphasis particularly around the mediation and negotiation? And to me that comes back to some of the issues we've already talked around in relation to some of the impasses experienced in Codex over the last number of years. And connected with that is I'm not sure whether significantly advanced negotiation skills, particularly when you're on both sides of the equation, actually get you to a result, or does it probably make the negotiations more intensive? As a concept, though, for new chairs coming into Codex to get a feel for a set of skills, or certainly to reflect around the need to develop a set of skills, I think that this sort of concept is good. That's a separate set of issues, though, from Codex contact points, which there's clearly a number of very well-skilled Codex contact points around the world that it wouldn't be very hard to compile, again, the sort of the business approach that they bring to that role in coordinating within the national governments and then how they interrelate with Codex Secretariat. They've all got probably good lessons they've learned as part of that process, which would be a very good document to be shared internationally. I don't see that, though, connected to the chair issue. I think that's probably a little bit separate. In terms of the delegates and mediation skills, I think there's probably it's useful in CC Fix. We've run on Sundays just for first-time participants in the committee, just a session walking them through the procedures and the papers and a little bit of background as to where some of those items are at. That may well be a useful process for new delegates to meetings. For a new delegate that hasn't been in one of these meetings before, it can be a little bit imposing in terms of participation. So I think we need to look at what sort of tools and approaches are around that can facilitate their greater inclusion in the agenda. But they're just some thoughts on this item.
Thank you. Member for Southwest Pacific. I think we also have a comment from a member from Africa, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Moi, je suis d'accord avec ce que mon prédécesseur a dit, mais j'ai l'impression que pour ce point, on aurait pu faire l'économie des points de contact. Parce que dans le point 5.4, on parle de l'enforcement des points de contact et des comités nationaux. Je pense que pour tout ce qui concerne les points de contact, on peut le prendre en compte dans ce point. Et ici, au point 7, s'en tenir effectivement aux délégués et aux présidents par rapport aux capacités de négociation. Merci.
Thank you, member from Africa. I think that what we can learn from the interventions on this issue is that there is support to the idea that we should do something in the overall system to train and to help and develop people who has the roles of negotiators and participants in Codex work, because it is in the interest of everybody that people knows what it's about, they are skilled, they can better be active in the work, and they can better maintain their own interests. That's also part of the game for everybody. And then you can discuss whether you limit your efforts to chairs or groups or you extend it to coded contact points, and I think you could also discuss whether maybe developing skills for contact points could be part of capacity building instead of training, because it's another issue with coded contact points with individual chairs of groups, etc. But I take it that there is general support in this committee that this is an issue that needs to be refined, and obviously the questions raised by FAO on more precise description of who we actually address the encouragement to needs to be part of the work. Certainly take on board these comments, and I think that should be what we do on this one. But before we close this issue, I would like to give the floor to the member from CCLAC, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Teniendo en cuenta que no sabemos cuál es el contenido de este manual de negociación y por consiguiente no podemos saber a quién está dirigido, podríamos asumir que en realidad si se trata de un manual de negociación sería muy pertinente que quedara incluido dentro de creación de capacidad y que esté destinado tanto a los puntos focales como a los delegados potenciales que vaya a tener el Códex. Me parece que lo de los presidentes, claramente, si bien también son delegados en algún momento y deberían tener habilidades para negociar o para ser intermediarios, en realidad son otras las habilidades que creemos que debería tener un presidente, o al menos deberíamos discutir cuáles son las habilidades que debería tener un presidente, ya que tendría que ser básicamente imparcial, mientras que un negociador no necesariamente tiene que ser imparcial. Gracias.
Thank you, member from CCLAC. I think you hit the nail saying that this issue is obviously in the heads of all of us. It's a very important one. But I think also what you're saying, in my mind, there's no contradiction. I think what we're saying, if I may include 5.8 in our deliberations, which is encouraging FAO and WHO to continue providing capacity building. Obviously, what we have in 5.7 to encourage FAO and WHO to develop negotiation skills and mediation skills is part of capacity building, and how it's organized is a different thing. So maybe these 2 points, 5.7 and 5.8, should be thought together. And that could be certainly considered. I think that would be a valid, that was my understanding of this discussion and also reading the text again. So I think, thank you for these comments, and we will do that. And then I have to, as a chair, make sure that now I, in my own capacity, include 5.8, and I didn't ask for specific comments on that one, but I should do that before I mix up the two things. For the committee, but I apologize for maybe going too far in what I deliberate on. But are there any specific comments on 5.8? Encourage FAO to continue. I don't see that, so I think that I can draw the conclusion I just did, that these two elements are to a large extent two sides of the same coin, so they could be maybe incorporated or more precisely described, and I think it would be very welcome for the coming working group to do that. That means we have finalized the exercise of going through this document, and I thank you all very much for a very efficient contribution, and a lot of thoughtful ideas has been launched, and I hope that we have managed to pick up all the essential elements, and we already agreed a long time ago that what we would like, what we want to do as a common procedure is establishing a working group. But before I come to these more formal issues, I would like to say that again, I hope I said something of it in my presentation of this agenda point, but I would like to repeat that the Bureau in developing this document that we've just gone through has not had any intention of prejudicing how the new strategic plan should be. What we have tried to do is really catch up or capture what with the input from regional committees and try to summarize that and put that into the document. And I hope we have managed to do that. But it's very, very important that we have this discussion and get further input from you. I said from the beginning that the next step would be that the Bureau would develop the text and then we would send it out as a circular letter, but because of the ideas that came from this committee, we changed the proposal for procedure in the direction that instead of the Bureau taking on board here and now to redraft the document, we establish an electronic working group. Excellent idea coming from the member of North America, I think, which I'm very happy to take on board. And I would suggest that we establish this electronic working group. Members of the group, we find them in the executive committee. And I would suggest in the name of inclusiveness and efficiency, we try to establish a group that has membership from all regions, but still has a limited size. So I hope we can combine these two important elements. So I would suggest that we make a working group with one representative of each region. Whether it's a member or the coordinator from each region, it's up to a dogfight if that is necessary in the region. That's up to you. That's up to you how you do it. But I think then we would cover the inclusiveness of points from all over the world and still have a fairly limited group that could. It's always more efficient. We know that. So is that idea accepted? I don't see any reactions. So I think we should proceed like that. If that is agreeable, Europe, member from Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with that proposal. I think it's a very good idea. Could you just give an indication of when and who these nominations should be given? Because a number of members of this executive committee will be replaced. Yes. Following elections next week. So it may be that other people will be sitting in some of these seats. So if it's nominations after or by beginning of September to the Codex Secretariat, then it would be useful just to record that. So that's it.
Thank you, member from Europe. Thank you very much for reminding. I should have included that in my comments, because you're obviously right that we cannot nominate this group from people present in this room, even though we could avoid the dogfights, because a number of people or a number of countries will be exchanged during our session for the next week. So we have to take that comment on board in what we do. But before I try to conclude on that, I see the member from North America has asked for the floor. Please.
Well, speaking as one of the regions that will not be changing for the next meeting, the region, North America region, would be willing to take on the leadership of this work group, if that's acceptable.
Thank you, member from North America. You have already gone to the next point in our discussion, but thank you for your candidacy. I'm sure that is. But I'm sure. Sorry for being so blunt. But I'm sure your candidacy is perfectly welcome to the group. I would doubt, and I didn't see anybody rushing up with their flags. I know I wanted, but there's still a possibility for others to come up with if they want to take on board. And I see no reaction. So I think we thank the United States for taking on board the leadership of that group. It's an important work. And I'm sure there will be a lot of exchanges on the internet about this discussion. Many, I'm sure, new ideas will even come up when people have time to reflect and see the coming from different parts of the world. But the issue of nominating, I think I would like to suggest that membership should be sent to the Secretariat at the latest the 1st of September. I guess that we have the Commission meeting next week. After that, at least many people would like to have a little vacation. But maybe if it's too late for 1st of September, then I would like to have comments. This is just a proposal out of the box from me. Please delegates, we just had a little chat at the top table, and before I try to conclude the issue, I see the flag from the member from CCLAC, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Una consulta nada más. ¿Este grupo limitado estaría encuadrado dentro de las funciones que tiene el presidente de la comisión para convocar grupos para tratar temas específicos? Porque de lo contrario, ¿cómo limitaríamos la participación de miembros de Codex en un grupo? Por eso me pregunto, ¿las autoridades del Codex pueden asignar tareas a grupos específicos en el marco del Comité Ejecutivo? Esto sería uno de esos grupos, ¿verdad?
Thank you, member from CCLAC. I think the situation, and I stand correct for correction if I'm wrong, this is a decision made by the Executive Committee on how we want to proceed on this. And I think it is up to us to decide how we want to proceed, and we should follow, in my opinion, what we have concluded. I just want to... Sorry for this little interruption. We just need to make sure that we get things right, that we maintain the idea of establishing, and I am being told that formally we are not establishing a working group but a subcommittee of the Executive Committee. I don't think that would bother anybody to have this more refined title for this work. And so this is what we're going to do. And then I would like to add to my proposal of the composition of the working group. I think it would be wise that we say that the Bureau is part of the working group to continue the work that we have discussed here. And obviously, many other persons will be different, because we all know we have elections for the Bureau in the next week. And we have a number of either coordinators or members that are being exchanged according to the normal schedule. This is why we can only nominate people after. This is why I had the suggestion that the regents should decide which person becomes member. Whether it's the member or the coordinator is up to a discussion in all the regions of the Codex Sedimentarius. And then we are ready to start work, and then we... would be pleased to hand over the initiative to the chair of the working group from that date, when they get the information from the Secretariat on who would be the persons, what are the mail addresses, and whatever it takes, and working on the basis of the conclusions that we have drawn today and which will be reported in the report from this committee. So I see nodding, and I don't see any protests. Please, delegates, may I resume our discussions? We just got some legal advice from our secretariat, which is obviously important. And we are not all of us Codex lawyers, so we might make some mistakes, and we did that on this occasion. We are being advised that a working group cannot be restricted to one member from each region. It is restricted to the exec. I try. I might still be corrected. It's a working group. cannot be restricted the way I suggested. That was a mistake in my understanding of the legal situation. The working group is open both to the coordinator and to the member, still on the basis of those who are elected and appointed in the next week. But it doesn't mean that you have to be a member. If a region decides that only one person participate, it's up to them. Obviously, it's in that respect, it's a free world we live in. So this is what we want to do. Otherwise, we would run into more complicated situations. But the only consequence is that there might be a few more people, and I'm sure the chair of the working group can handle that situation. I'm sure that will be agreeable to the member from North America. I'm sorry for that little confusion, but when you act, you lose a few of them. So hope that is being appreciated. I see a flag from the member from Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to prolong it. I mean, is that advice based, the legal advice based on Rule 5.4 of the Executive Committee? It says there that the Executive Committee the Executive Committee may establish subcommittees from among its members as it may deem necessary to establish it to enable it to exercise its functions as effectively as possible. Such subcommittees should be limited in numbers, carry out preparatory work and report to the Executive Committee, and blah, 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 be chaired by a vice chair. It's just you mentioned a working group, first of all, then you mentioned a subcommittee. It seems that a subcommittee could be established by CC Exec. It could be limited in numbers, as you suggested. I think the only issue would be the generous offer by the member for North America might have to be supplanted by a vice chair who would chair the group, or chair an EU working group or whatever. So that would be, I'll bow to WHO legal advice, but that would be my interpretation of this. So I can't say anything wrong with your proposal. I think it's in nomenclature. Yes, a working party cannot be, or a working group couldn't be convened, but CC Exec could convene a subcommittee to carry out its functions. So I think it's just in what we call it. And you could then ask, as you proposed, one nomination from each region.
Thank you, Member for North America. You have studied the rules very fast.
Europe.
It's getting late. It's the only excuse. So I'm getting too old, I don't know. Relevant question. I don't dare draw the conclusions anymore, so I would like to ask the Secretariat to clarify the situation to enable us to understand precisely what we can do and what we cannot do, because we agree on the purpose, inclusiveness of the regions and efficient working group. So, Secretariat, please. Okay, the Legal Council, even better. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Exactly. I was mentioning while discussing with the Bureau and the Secretariat about Rule 5, Paragraph 4, of mentioning exactly the subcommittees. There may be an issue regarding the chairperson, as indicated in the last part of the paragraph. Concerning physical working group and electronic working groups, the membership is open and should be representative of the membership of the Commission. And it is also my understanding that according to the practice is open to all member states, so it would not be possible to have a restricted membership for that group. So in my understanding of what the committee would like to do right now, the best option or the less worst option would be Article 5, Paragraph 4, taking into account that we may have an issue with the presidency, the chairship of this group. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Legal Counsel. Just a second, please. Sorry, delegates, we still had legal consultations before I give you the outcome of our deliberations. There was flags up from CCLAC and members, but they took them down again. I take that they they don't want to speak. So I would like to say that we, as you, it's clear to you, we have a little bit of complications with, say, the legal, precise legal basis for what we're doing, and we want to do it right. And on the basis of the advice from the legal counsel, we would like to suggest that we postpone this final decision till tomorrow. Then we have time to reflect and make sure that we get it right. So I hope that is okay to everybody. Member from Southwest Pacific, please.
It'd be interesting just to understand what that was, but surely this is as simple as the United States or North America has offered to compile a draft of a document. We've all agreed that effectively anyone in this room can provide a submission to North America by the 1st of September. North America will have a draft compiled 2 months after that, so by the end of October there will be a draft compiled and circulated by the Secretariat to the Executive Committee. And whenever this group comes together at some point after Christmas to discuss that draft, that a vice chair or chair can chair that meeting. Is it not any more difficult than that? I thought that would be a fairly straightforward process. It doesn't matter if they get one submission, it doesn't matter if they get 30 submissions. They will work through that.
Thank you. Southwest Pacific, before I respond, I would like to give the floor to the member from CCLAC, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad, una disculpa. Primero, mi intención no era esta, y en realidad mi comentario se debió justamente a la observación que había hecho usted respecto de que iba a ser para un número limitado de miembros del comité ejecutivo, y en realidad fue eso lo que me quedó en mente de bajo qué, en base a qué podíamos limitar a los miembros del comité ejecutivo para opinar. En ningún momento la idea fue rechazar, por supuesto, el ofrecimiento de Estados Unidos, que creo que deberíamos aprovechar, porque aparte es el país que ha tenido, que tiene todavía la presidencia del Codex y que ha, de alguna manera, conducido todo el plan estratégico 2008-2013. Coincido con lo que ha dicho Australia, si se le encarga una labor a un miembro del comité ejecutivo sin la necesidad de creación de un subcomité, el trabajo se podría hacer perfectamente igual. Gracias.
Thank you, CCLAC. First of all, I would like to emphasize that I certainly don't think you have to apologize anything. You raised a debate that was apparently necessary, and it's perfectly legitimate, and what we want to do is to do things right. That's for sure. To a member from Southwest Pacific, well, I initially thought that I shared your view. It is that simple as you describe it, but I get the advice from the legal counsel that it would be wise to let us sleep it over and make sure that nobody comes with a legal request afterwards for it. So I would like to maintain my proposal that we, just this very final issue of a very long and prosperous discussion about the proceedings of this agenda point, so that we simply finalize with this comment, then we pick it up tomorrow, and I hope that we can in 2 minutes decide how we do it, whether we have a subcommittee or we have a working group. We want to do it right. So that is my proposal. Legal counsel, please.
Just briefly, thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding of the rules and my interpretation of the entire legal framework we apply to Codex is that the guidelines for electronic working groups are mainly dedicated to technical committees, not to the executive committee. So this is why I base my opinion on Rule 5.4. At the same time, just discussing a few minutes ago, I was told that in the past, apparently, the executive committee established a working group. So I would just like to make a further search to enable to the executive committee to do what you would like to do, is not to stop your working, just to make it clear. And I'll take into consideration also the option that the distinguished delegate from the Southwest Pacific region proposed about an informal kind of gathering together, which from what I understand is not even cannot be classified neither under subcommittees nor under a working group. So I'm really here to support your work, not to stop your work. Just I want to think about a few minutes more, also to give the interpreters the right, they have to finish their job, and just to can get back to you tomorrow with legal advice. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, legal counsel. We will give you the few more minutes that you you need. So we continue maintaining the process that I just proposed. Thank you. And this means, delegates, please, we have, well, I would have loved to say we finalized this agenda point. We will pick it up tomorrow on the basis that I just described. But we will adjourn the meeting for today and see you again tomorrow at 9:30 as today. And we will finalize the agenda points. And I really hope that you will have an enjoyable week in Geneva, although the sun is not shining. So see you all tomorrow. Have a good evening.